Hey, All Saints, it is great to be back under some unusual circumstances, but I know you're watching. So it's great that you're here, wherever you are. Hopefully you are not still in the bathroom. But I want to add my welcome to Viv's. And really look forward to getting everyone back in the building when we can. You may have heard that my family, have welcomed a 7-month-old girl, a foster baby, into our family recently. That's why I haven't been here for a good month. And I just want to say that it's been great. It's been a joy to welcome her into our family. It's been really difficult as well, having a baby who, isn't as familiar with our family. But I want to thank you. Thank you for all the messages that you've been sending. Thank you for the prayers, for the encouragement, for the meals, for the cards, the presents. It has meant so much. It's been such a comfort during this time. When you're in the thick of something, whether it be lockdown, homeschooling, babying, battling an illness, or maybe just dealing with low mental health at this time, what is it that brings you comfort? Maybe you're having relationship difficulties, job stress, HSC or uni exams are happening, or just feeling lonely. Whatever it might be, what is it that brings you comfort? What do you turn to in these difficult times to cope, to get through? Is it little things like ice cream or a well-written card from someone, a hug from a family member, reading your favourite book or watching your favourite TV show, going for a run or a bushwalk, maybe just getting some takeaway, or maybe it's online shopping? The last few weeks, we've had to order a lot of things for the baby, and I don't really like online shopping at all. And so Bryony has done 99% of it. I just order the pizza. I don't know if that's online shopping. Anyway, what I do love, though, is the knock at the door and the package. Just, I don't care what it is. I just love opening a good package. And the other day, we just got 12 rolls of masking tape. That's all it was. It was so exciting. We got it because the boys were using all the other boxes that we'd accumulated to make this living room-sized rocket ship. Restrictions mean that they can't go to the moon. So anyway, in all seriousness though, what helps you get through these times? How do you find comfort when you're in the thick of it? And how does God bring us comfort at these times? Should we even expect God to comfort us? Well, we should. 2 Corinthians 1, Paul says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God." Now, I think there is a danger that we idolize comfort. Our own comfort shouldn't be our main goal in this life as Christians. You know, we follow Jesus, who suffered for others and who warned us about worldly comforts. We shouldn't expect an easy and comfortable life when we're following Jesus. And yet, Paul goes on to say, "For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ." As Christians, we shouldn't expect to be comfortable, but we should expect to be comforted by God in difficult times. There is a comfort for us above all other comforts, a comfort in all our troubles. Last week, Viv began our series in Songs for the Times showing us how we can cry out, how we can lament to God. And I find that super comforting, that we can be so real with God about our feelings. Today, I want to look at how God comforts us through another song in God's Word, a psalm, Psalm 139. And it's honestly been one of my favourite psalms, if not my favourite Bible verse, for most of my Christian life. It's been that verse that has helped me get through difficult and confusing times, lonely times, stressful times. It's been such a comfort to me. And tonight I'm not going to be able to show you or explore all the ways that God might comfort you in difficult times. But I can see four things in Psalm 139 that are worth exploring. And so the first one is that we are known by God. Whether you're a believer or not, God knows you better than you know yourself. And I realize that that's kind of a scary thought. But I hope as we dig into it, you'll find it comforting as well. Look at verse 1. You have searched me and you know me. Searched, not like a quick Google search, but like a search team that covers every square millimeter, or an expert in their field who has researched everything about it. Now, God is the expert on Lee Zadrow. There isn't anything about you or me that God doesn't know fully. Verse 2, he knows us so well that he knew our anxious, angry or apathetic thoughts about COVID before COVID even happened. Verse 3, he is familiar with all our ways, our every habit, whether good or bad. It's comforting to know that God isn't surprised by our ways, our habits. Verse 4, he knows what we're going to say before we speak it. And that's kind of a strange concept, but it reminded me of when Jesus does this with Peter. He tells Peter, you're going to disown me three times before the rooster crows in the morning. And remember just how calm Jesus was about it? Like Jesus knew that he was going to be disowned by Peter, and it didn't rattle him in the same way that it might you and me. And verse 6, kind of David just bursts out with this. Such knowledge, not knowledge of just anything, but such self-knowledge is too wonderful, too lofty. It's not humanly possible to know even ourselves as well as God does, as deeply, as intimately. This brings me comfort, especially in difficult times, in times when I feel like others don't get me, when I don't even get myself. I don't understand my own feelings and reactions. I don't know what I'm doing. God knows me better than I do. He knows what you're going through. And not just in general terms, oh, you're going through a pandemic, you're going through lockdown. No, very specific to you. He knows the battles you're facing. He knows the struggles that you're facing every day. But it's the next six verses that makes the first six verses even more incredible. God knows me and he's still near me. He's with me. Sometimes knowing ourselves so well, it can almost make us repulsed by ourselves. I am the worst sinner in my eyes, and I should be for all that I know, all the thoughts that I know. But the thought that God knows faults and sins and things about me that I don't even know is terrifying. And if others knew those things, you know, they'd want to run away. The thought that others would know us that deeply, we imagine that they would just flee. They wouldn't want anything to do with us. And you know, that might be true. But it's not true of God. He doesn't run. He is with us. He knows us fully, and he is so near us. Verse 7, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? David is feeling this. He's ashamed. He wants to run from God. God knows everything about us, and naturally we want to run and hide from God, like Adam and Eve did in the garden. But, verse 8, even if I make my bed in the depths, you are there. God goes with us to the deepest places that our sin takes us. Even death in the end. As Psalm 23 says, even though I walk through the darkest valleys, you are with me and you comfort me. Jesus fulfilled these verses by coming near, by becoming human. Our sin doesn't push God away from us. The crazy thing is it actually stirs his heart. And he can't help but draw near to us, ultimately letting our sin kill him so that he could be near us forever. And verse 10, now he is guiding us, holding us when we're in the thick of it. Take comfort in the fact that when we're lost, when life feels distressingly out of control, God has got us. He knows us. He is with us. He is gently guiding us through it all. And verses 11 and 12, I love this picture of God chasing away the darkness, that there's no place too dark for God's light to shine in. Even the darkest secret or sin cannot hide you from or diminish God's love for you and the work, the precious work that he is doing in your life. How comforting to know that the God who knows us better than we know ourselves doesn't run. He is with us. He would never leave us. Thirdly, these next six verses, they're probably my favourite in this psalm, especially in recent years. They remind and comfort us with the truth that we are deep down precious to God. It gives logic to why God, even though he knows us, would not abandon us, despite all our sins and flaws. Now, there's been a lot of talk about identity recently. We are told in movies and TV shows, especially Disney, that if we just look deep within ourselves, if we dig deep, if we find out who we are to our core, then that'll set us free. And the Christian response has often been, no, if you dig deep enough, if you find out who you are at your core, you are sinful and broken. And even though it's true that you and I are sinful, inclined to ignore and hurt and run from God, it doesn't change the fact that deep down at our core, verse 14, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Disney is onto something, that there's something deep within us, but Disney doesn't have the answer. And we don't discover this beautiful truth on our own by self-digging. We discover that we're precious, that we're made in God's image because God shows us, because he tells us through his word. David says that God's works are wonderful. He says he knows it full well. Amen. Everything that God makes is a thing of wondrous beauty. Do you believe that? Well, if you believe that, then you need to believe that about yourself and others. Yourself and others. In this moment, I want to be specific. If you're gay or transgender, you are as fearfully and wonderfully made by God as anyone else. You are infinitely precious to Him. And I'm sorry if you've heard, especially from Christians, that that is not the case. Whoever you are deeply precious to God. Now, the word fearfully, it's always kind of, I don't know, it's a strange word in this context. But I want you to imagine a master chef, like the top chef, and they're cooking a meal for the queen. You know, imagine the thought and carefulness, almost the fearfulness that they want to get this right. The desire for it to be a masterpiece, a thing of true beauty, so that when the queen eats, she is stunned, bowled over by it. That's the sort of love and care God put into making you as you are, a fearfulness when He made you. And yes, sure, sin has taken root in our hearts, but deep down, who we are is a masterpiece that God takes immense pride in. And so, you know, think about Jesus' coming then. Jesus coming to be near us, to lay down His life and to take away our sin, to forgive us. See that as a restoration project, not a knockdown rebuild. He's restoring you to your original wonder and glory that God made you with. I love verse 15. It's as though God locked Himself in His little art studio to make you. There's so many of us humans. It can feel like we're just another human. What's the point of me? Was I just an afterthought? No. You are not. Verse 16 tells us that every day of our life, each moment, was thoughtfully written by our great author God. In His book, not on scrap paper, in His most precious book, were your days written. And so verse 17, make sure that what God thinks of you is most precious to you. Not what anyone else thinks. Not what the world tells you. Maybe not even your own opinions sometimes. Maybe a good thing to do during this lockdown time would be to spend some time writing this down over and over again, meditating on the truth that you are so, so precious to God. And I hope that it's something that brings you comfort in this difficult time. Lastly, take comfort in knowing that your thoughts are safe with God. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with Psalm 139, but these verses have always made me think, you ruined the psalm, David. It was such a good psalm. It was the perfect psalm. And then you had to throw all these verses in about hating the wicked and that they'd be slayed. It's so out of place. It's so jarring. But it's not actually. This God who knows David so well, every thought, every inclination of his heart, God already knew that David was thinking this about God's enemies. And it makes sense that the God who he loves so fiercely would cause these strong feelings, even hatred towards those who hate God, who speak of him with evil intent, who rebel against him. There's actually something really natural and admirable about what David is saying here. Like, I'd find it pretty hard to have positive feelings about someone who hated and hurt my children. You know, it'd be weird if I didn't. But the comfort lies in how safe David is to express these feelings. God doesn't boot him out. Again, God doesn't run away. And David goes on to say, "Search me, God, know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting." David comes humbly to God. He's saying, "God, this is how I'm feeling. I have this intense hatred towards your enemies. But can you lead me in your ways? Your thoughts on this are most precious to me. Test me. Is this right? Am I right to have this hatred?" And the rest of the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, will point us towards loving our enemies, praying for our enemies, praying for God's enemies, and at the same time taking comfort in knowing that God will bring justice and an end to evil. Tom pointed me to a clever quote from Abraham Lincoln earlier in the week, which he said, "Do I not destroy my enemies when I make them my friends?" You know, the ultimate destruction of God's enemies is that they'd be reconciled to God through Jesus. You know, that's what we pray. And you know, that's what I used to be, an enemy of God, until I was reconciled through Jesus. But some of you might honestly be struggling with our society these days, seeing it become less Christian in your eyes, and hatred might be growing. You know, if that's the case, humbly bring it to God. Not to Facebook, but to God. God who already knows you have these thoughts. But for many of us, we might just feel strongly about something else, about a teaching in the Bible or a current issue or something else that's going on. And if something is aggravating you, then humbly bring it to God. He won't run away from you. This is the God who made you, who knows you, who knows these thoughts, who gets you, who loves you. You know, seek his precious thoughts on whatever it is that's bothering you. And be ready to hear what he has to say. It's my prayer that you would feel comfortable and safe, knowing that your deepest desires, your most crippling, anxious thoughts, even your most sinful thoughts and ways, cannot separate you from God's love. God's love that he has poured out for you in Jesus. So, God knows you, and yet will always be near you, because you are precious to him. So feel safe with him. Amen.